I'm used to that being louder. All right, I will call to order the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting on Wednesday, May 7th, 2025 at 6 o'clock p.m. And I will ask for the roll call, please, first.
Director Karen Ray Russin?
Here.
Director Cassidy?
Yes.
Here. Director Shirley Gibson?
Here.
Thank you. Okay, we will move on to the Pledge of Allegiance, if you can stand. All right, now on to agenda review. Do any of the directors want to make any changes to our agenda?
No.
No? Okay, moving on to public comments on items not appearing on the agenda. This public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present comments, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters which are within the jurisdiction of the district. The Brown Act restricts the board from taking formal action on matters not published on the agenda. Does anybody wish to make any general public comment? Seeing nobody come forward, I will close that public comment period. And we will move on to the consent agenda items. The following routine items listed below are scheduled for consideration as a group. So this is 5A and 5B, the approval of warrants and approval of meeting minutes of March 5th, 2025. So I will open public comment for the consent agenda. Seeing nobody come forward, I will close public comment for the consent agenda. Does any board members want to withdraw or make any comments on any? All right, can I have a motion?
Yes, Chair D, I'll make a motion that we approve items 5A and 5B as published.
And a second. Perfect. We have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Russum?
Yes.
Director Cassidy?
Yes.
Director Shirley Gibson?
Yes.
Wonderful. Moving right along to our action items. Number 6A, which is the presentation and approval of fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024 financial audit.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is a presentation and approval of the fiscal year ending June 24 financial audit. It's recommended that the board receive a presentation of the audit of the district's financial records by Moss, Levy, and Hartzheim, LLP, the district's independent auditor, resolve any questions, call for any necessary revisions, and then file the 2023-24 financial audit. With us this evening is our auditor, Chris Padilla from Moss, Levy, Hartzheim, and Chris will give a brief presentation and answer any questions your board may have.
Good evening. As mentioned, my name is Chris Padilla, and I'm here with Moss, Levy, and Hartzheim, LLP. We conducted our audit of June 30th, 2024, fiscal year end, for South San Luis Sanitation District, County Sanitation District. Our opinion is unmodified with essentially clean opinion. We conducted our audit in compliance with generally accepted auditing standards and government auditing standards, and we have no reportable internal control deficiencies or non-compliance issues. Any questions regarding the financial statements?
Do you have any questions? No questions? Perfect. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
I'll open public comment on this item if anybody wishes to come forward for public comment. I will close public comment. And I believe, is there a vote for this one or is it just receive? Wonderful. Perfect. Received and filed.
Wait, I want to have comments.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead and have comments.
you can sit. It's okay. Thank you. There's always two words I'm looking for, right? Clean, unmodified. So thank you very much. But most appropriately and for the public, thank you so much to Amy. And thank you to Jeremy. You guys both do a great job year after year after year. It is so great to be caught up on these and to have them come back continually in this manner. It speaks so highly of the way the district is run. So thank you.
Any comments over here to my left? No, and definitely to echo, I know that the district has been through a lot, so thank you so much, and thank you for your help. All right, so moving on to 6B, the received draft 2025 wastewater rate study, and I will pass it over to Mr. Gent.
So, good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. So this evening, about an hour ago, Alex Handlers, who's our financial consultant, he texted me from Salinas and said his ETA was now 6:08 because he was stuck in traffic. So my recommendation is maybe we continue with other board items and anticipation that he roll in by 6:15 and we can catch up with item 6B when he arrives.
All right. Is that okay with everybody else? Perfect. Okay, so let's come back to 6B, and we will go to 6C, the interim payment agreement with Kennedy Jenks.
So good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. So the item before you for the interim payment, item 6C with Kennedy Jenks, we're asking you to authorize the District Administrator to execute this agreement that affords the district a $2 million line of credit to assist the district with cash flow availability when the secondary, while the secondary clarifier claim is pending. And so what this really is as most of you are aware, we have a large claim going on over the secondary clarifier. We've funded that repair to the tune of $8.9 million. And that's put us in a little bit of a cash crunch. And so for good financial management, one of the things we were looking at is we might have a lull around September, October, where while we're waiting on that claim to be paid. And one of the things we were looking into is borrowing a little bit of cash from a bank and basically charging Kennedy Jenks all the fees associated with that interim extra money that we might need on hand. And during those negotiations, it was clear that we were going to be successful at passing those fees through. We suggested that unless they wanted to offer that line of credit themselves to save some of those indirect costs, and we actually didn't expect them to engage in this. And to our surprise, they're very interested and very cooperative. And so what this agreement will do is, starting July 1st, if the district's cash position is in a situation that I deem not good, like it's my determination, I can request $1 million from Kennedy Jenks, and then 30 days later, I can request a second $1 million from Kennedy Jenks. And all this is, I don't anticipate having to do it necessarily, but what this does is it protects us from having any negative impacts to the ratepayers or the district's operations because of Kennedy Jenks' improper design of the secondary clarifier. And so it keeps us moving if we ever had an emergency and needed to repair something quickly that was a high dollar amount, we would have the cash on hands to do that. And so there's no financial impact to the negative by endorsing this, and it will just offset any payment of the claim for the secondary clarifier. So if they, you know, if they paid $1 million, they would still owe us the 7.9. If they paid two, they would owe us the 6.9. With that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions your board may have.
Do you have any questions? Any questions to my left? And can you turn your mic?
So this is just in case of emergency at your discretion, correct?
Correct. Beginning July 1st, I could request payment from Kennedy Jenks, and they would have to send us $1 million.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And then I do not have any questions, so I will now open up for public comment on this item. Seeing nobody come forward, I will close public comment and bring it back to the board for consideration and discussion.
I just have a comment before we decide what to do here. I just wanted to say I'm just surprised again, having been here since the beginning of this whole debacle, that Kennedy Jenks has just continued to step up as best they can within reason and done more than we expected at every step. So kudos to them. And so with that, I'd like to move that we authorize the district administrator to execute an agreement with Kennedy Jenks that affords the district a $2 million line of credit to assist the district with cash flow availability while the secondary clarifier claim is pending.
Perfect. Second. All right, we have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call?
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Cassie D?
Yes.
Director Shirley Gibson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Beautiful. Thank you. And I just have to agree with what Director Ray Russom said, too. I'm very impressed by their good faith efforts and continuing to work with us. So awesome. Okay, moving on to item 6D. And I'm going to stop reading the titles and just pass it on over to you because it'll come up on the board.
Yeah. So good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. So the item in front of you is to authorize execution of contract amendment number 4 for wastewater treatment plant redundancy project construction management services with M&S Engineers Incorporated, pending USDA concurrence. So the item before you is, I believe it will close us out finally. We've been extending contracts for redundancy support for the repair of the secondary clarifier as we move toward closeout. And so M&S is our construction management and construction inspection firm that's been on site overseeing the Phelan's construction of the redundancy project. And so this would authorize the district administrator to execute a contract amendment for the construction management services for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project with M&S engineers in the amount of $166,009.87. Financial impacts, these are some of the charges that are, the majority of these charges are going to the Kennedy Jenks, the claim for the secondary clarifier. So there is currently $1.2 million remaining in construction contingency on the project, money that we had set aside for unforeseen additions that we might encounter during construction. And so staff recommends reallocating that $166,010 from the contingency to cover the construction management services. With that, it concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions your board may have.
Any questions? Any questions to my left? No. And my questions were mainly historical and answered before the meeting, so thank you so much. I will open up public comment for this item. Seeing nobody come forward, I will close public comment for this item and bring it back to the board for comments, discussion, and consideration.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to authorize the district administrator to execute a contract amendment for construction management services for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project with M&S Engineers, Inc., in the amount of $166,009.87, pending USDA concurrence.
Motion.
Second.
Perfect. We have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Cassie D?
Yes.
Director Shirley Gibson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Wonderful. Okay, now we are on item 6E. Mr. Gent.
Good evening, Jeremy
really
Gent.
Slow.
I know, I was just looking at it's like 6:13 now. I don't know, Eileen, can you maybe check? Okay, thank you. So item 6E, authorize execution of amendment number 3 for wastewater treatment plant startup and operation support services with PERC Water. So the recommendation is that you authorize the district administrator to execute a budget amendment for startup and operation support services for the wastewater treatment plant related to the redundancy project with PERC Water in the amount of $8,112. So the item of PERC was hired to provide startup assistance with operational oversight to assist Michael Jones and the operators during startup. And that total contract was a little over $300,000 as they planned how we would start and commission the new process. And during startup and commissioning, they had on-site support with some of their staff, working hand in hand with our operators. And so one of those direct costs of them being on site was amounted to this $8,112 for their attendance while we were doing startup. I will say that Michael was able to, we anticipated a lot of overtime and extra costs during startup, and we were actually able to avoid most of the overtime and overnight work with successful alarms and SCADA operations and just some individual oversight. And so there has been cost savings on the labor side. That's really just a side note, but so the item before you is to fulfill the contract for PERC's startup services. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Questions? I do have a quick question. First of all, good job, Michael. Jeremy, isn't this amount within your discretionary? Why is this coming forward in this small number?
So it's because their original contract was in excess of my authority.
Oh,
so
I
the,
see.
The original contract amount, this is getting to a total of $362,170 for their. And so this is an amendment. It's beyond that original plus 10% that was authorized. And so I'm asking the board for this $8,000.
Yes. Got it. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Just a comment. I like it when staff has the initiative to try to save money for the district. Thanks.
All right. No other questions? Okay. I will open public comment very slowly on this item. Seeing nobody come forward, I will close public comment for this item. I'll bring it back to the board for comments and considerations and a motion.
I will move that we authorize the district, I don't know why my mic doesn't sound like it's on, authorize the district administrator to execute a budget amendment for startup and operations and support services for the wastewater treatment plant related to the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project with PERC Water in the amount of $8,112.
I will slowly second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Cassie D?
Yes.
Director Shirley Gibson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Perfect. Okay. All right. Do you want me to go on to 6F or?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we will go on to 6F, the district administrator report, or I'll start with superintendent.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. I'm presenting the plant operations report for the reporting period of March 1st through April 30th. The district did not have any violations of its NPDES permit during this reporting period. Moving on to operations and maintenance tasks. We've completed a multitude of operations and maintenance tasks. And some work orders staff completed was we performed algae control on all clarifiers, performed preventative maintenance on digester vacuum pressure relief valves. We performed preventative maintenance on mechanical bar screens. We test ran our emergency generators and emergency bypass pump. We deragged our primary sludge pumps, performed preventative maintenance on our splitter box polymer injection system. We performed a monthly safety walk. Performed preventative maintenance on plant carts. We replaced influent and effluent composite sampler sample tubing. Performed preventative maintenance on our chemical induction mixer. Operations staff participated in quite a bit of training. We performed a laboratory demonstration of capabilities on total coliform multiple tube fermentation analysis. We also participated in activated sludge process control analysis. Supervisory control and data acquisition, instrumentation, programmable logic controllers, our rotary drum thickener, polymer injection system operation and maintenance, our RDT operation and maintenance, and then PERC Water provided operator training on our fixed film reactor and activated sludge process, secondary clarifier standard operating procedures and management, operational impacts of using our secondary clarifier number one versus the secondary clarifier number two. We did have a few call-outs during this reporting period. We had a call-out on April 9th, 10th, the 17th, the 19th, two on the 19th, the 27th, the 28th, and the 30th. Operation staff responded to all of the callouts. A larger volume of callouts are expected during the commissioning of the redundancy project as operation staff continue to optimize the process and adjust alarm thresholds. The number of callouts is expected to decrease. We had an exceedance in February. I think at our last board meeting, it hadn't been confirmed yet. And I said that I would come back to your board and report on that. So in February of 2025, we did have a non-serious violation for our average monthly effluent limit for biochemical oxygen demand. The cause of the exceedance was due to operating the FFR in a flushing roughing filter state, which in turn caused a spike in effluent BOD concentrations. The district's intent was to continue operating in a flushing roughing filter state to minimize and mitigate the macrofauna sent to the activated sludge process during the redundancy project commissioning scheduled to commence on February 14th. Due to construction delays, the startup was pushed to February 28th. Operation staff returned the FFR to normal operation and BOD concentrations returned to within permit limitations. The Water Board was notified of the exceedance, and this exceedance is due to expire on August 27th, 2025. Moving on to some staff photos. In this first photo, we have operations staff collecting samples while receiving a load of seed from the City of Pismo Beach wastewater treatment plant. In this next photo, we have operations staff training in the process control laboratory. And this next photo, it's OCSD assisting operations staff with hydrojetting an FFR effluent line. In this photo, we have Electrocraft installing new plant lighting. In this photo, it's OCSD assisting operations staff with vacuuming out our SC1 launder. In this photo, operations staff is participating in rotary drum thickener training. In this photo, it's operation staff, all smiles, following a confined space entry. And then in this final photo, we have, so just from left to right, in that first mason jar, we have our untreated effluent that comes through our facility. In the middle was our pre-redundancy treated effluent. And then all the way to the right is our post-redundancy treated effluent. And I think I speak for all of our operations staff and team. We're just excited to produce just a high quality effluent. With that concludes my reports, and I'm able to answer any questions the board may have.
Look at that photo. That's so cool.
I know, it's awesome. But I have a question. So when we do this, can we get these on the screen so that it gets to the people at home and they get to see these pictures?
We can, and we will. We'll start. As Michael was going through some of those, I was kind of disappointed that I hadn't included all of the photos in the PowerPoint and just this one as I focused on some of the content. But, yeah, I think in the future I should make an effort to include the photos that are in the staff report.
Thank you.
Michael, on the first photo, what is the seed?
Do you really want
Well, I mean, I've toured the plant, but I don't remember.
So it's kind of like sourdough. It's just kind of active bacteria. It's a nicer way of putting it.
I get it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I just had to know.
Any other questions?
No.
No? Okay, perfect. Any other comments? Okay, well,
no.
and then we'll move on to Mr. Jent.
Okay. So I have a brief administrator's report, and Mr. Handler's did arrive, and so we can move on to 6B when I wrap up here. A couple brief updates on the redundancy project. So the project is substantially complete at this point. We're operating the facility, going through some punch list type items. New process has been running and treating the full flow of the plant since April 7th. The only notable ongoing troubleshooting is achieving uninterrupted operation of the rotary drum thickeners. That's the one area where it's not basically they're not running for a long time on auto and they have some sort of fault and they shut off. And so we're working through those kind of software and control bugs with the manufacturer and the contractor. Some major outstanding tasks are closing on our USDA financing. So if you'll recall, we have interim financing for the USDA low interest funding, which is at 1.375%. And so we're moving forward with the USDA staff and crafting documents to close on basically paying off the interim financing and taking on the USDA debt in replace of that interim financing. Cogeneration project, the district is gathering and sharing information with NG and Southland. The district is seeking to identify a cost-viable project that could utilize methane digester gas to offset energy needs at the treatment plant. And there'll be more information forthcoming as we start to figure out if we have viable projects that we can move forward with. Miscellaneous, finally going to move forward with the ribbon cutting. Eileen and I will be working on that, and we'll be sending out a doodle poll next week to most of the key players in an attempt to identify times that would accommodate all of our schedules, and probably late July through mid-August kind of time frame for that. Plant tours, we had staff from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. They reached out because they wanted to come and observe the newly constructed redundancy project and see how that was working. And it was nice to meet some of the new staff at the regional board. And so Michael and I gave them a quick tour of the new operations. And with that concludes my administrator's report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions or comments for Mr. Jen? No? Okay, good. Great job. Thank you. All right. So are you ready to move back to 6B?
So.
Okay.
So I'll go ahead and get you kicked off here. So the item before you is to receive a draft 2025 wastewater rate study and direct staff to schedule a public hearing and mail notifications. So in order, the specific direction we're requesting is review the attached 2025 wastewater rate study and draft notice of public hearing on proposed wastewater treatment rate increases, and then direct staff to schedule a public hearing on proposed rate increases for July 2nd, 2025, and then direct staff to move forward with printing and mailing the required notices to district customers, to both district customers and property owners. Real quickly here, so the wastewater rate study is being presented by Alex Handlers of Bartle Wells and Associates. Thanks, Alex, for making the long drive down here. I did let Alex know that I thought 6:15 would be fine, but even that was kind of cutting it close. So yeah, it worked out just fine. Mr. Handlers will present an analysis of detailed rates outlining and projecting current and future needs. So member agency rates, I wanted to take a quick second. So two of our member agencies are actively, both Grover Beach and Oceano are in a Proposition 218 process to set rates for their respective wastewater collection systems. And so we've included some of those proposed rates in some of the financial analysis and graphs that Mr. Handlers will be sharing. So we'll be showing kind of an all-in weighted comparison of what the rates will look like with both our member agencies do the collection side, so the pipelines and the roads and stuff like that. So they're doing that maintenance activity, and so there's costs associated with maintaining that aging infrastructure. And so the majority of us and AGs in the early stages of figuring out where to move with their rates. Why now? So we, and Alex will talk about some of this, so I won't get into like specifics, but our last increase was in 2019 in preparation of the redundancy project. And so we've been active in construction for the past 5 years. And so the pause in rates was really intentional as the district targeted completion of the redundancy project as an appropriate time to understand the full financial needs of the rates. But as the redundancy project drug out with the delays and the repair work, now are, instead of being on pause for 3 years, we've been on pause for 5 years. And so we've got a little bit of catch up to do. So another reason for why now. So rates for Oceano are due to the tax collector's office by August 16th for processing. As you know, one of our member agencies, Oceano, we use the tax rolls to collect wastewater fees. And so once a year, we take our rates to the county and have them adopted and added to the tax rolls. And so that effort happens in September. And so they need our rates no later than August 16th. So the question was raised when I reached out to work with Grover Beach staff was, can you wait a couple months? And the answer is like, well, not really. A couple months is 10 months because we would be waiting all the way till next July to implement these rates if we can't get in front of the tax rolls now. What happens if we wait? So pausing adoption of the rates would have a few notable impacts. We would be out of compliance with the district's adopted debt covenant. So it's part of borrowing money. Usually lenders expect agencies to have certain policies in place. And one of the policies that our district has in place says that we will maintain enough revenue on our rate side to be able to pay 120% of our debt every year. And if we paused on moving forward with the rate increase, our quick glance at that 120%, I think Alex indicated, might dip to down to 117%. And so we would have a year of being out of compliance with our debt covenant. And why does that matter? It would matter if we were ever to borrow money again. It would affect our credit rating if someone analyzed our finances and said, hey, you had this debt covenant that said you would maintain this, but you actually fell below it. And so instead of getting a double A S&P rating, we might get a single A or a B rating. And so those are type of things that can save money down the road by keeping rates in a good state because it shows your credit worthy and your overall financial health. Other impact would there be an impact to the district reserves as we would draw those down to offset the delay in increasing the rates, and then we would likely incur higher future increases. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Handlers. He's gone through, he's got a presentation tonight that kind of walks you through our rate study. This will take a few minutes. I know we've kind of gone through the rest of this stuff pretty fast, but bear with us because it's important to understand we haven't adjusted rates like this since 2015 because the 2019 was really the end of the phase in of those rates. And so thanks, Alex. And go ahead and there's your slide.
Yeah. Oh, now it's on. Okay. Thanks. Nice to see everyone. Thanks for your patience. I got stuck in a little bit of traffic around Salinas that I don't know what happened there, but added about 45 minutes, it seems like. Anyway, yeah, so tonight's presentation is just kind of a quick overview explaining the key findings and recommendations and, you know, what the next steps would be. At the bottom of that slide, is there something I hit? Or
yeah, just say next slide.
There we go. Oh, tonight you're not taking action on the rates, but we also wanted to get the process going, and that does require, you know, getting direction to set the public hearing and mailing out the notices. So that's really the purpose, the other purpose of tonight's meeting. Moving on, the background, as Jeremy just mentioned, it's been a long time since you've done rate increases. It's 6 years. Your current rates that are in place have been in effect since 2019. Right now, when we look at the combined rates of the district and the member agencies, they're three of the four lowest in the entire area, and not just a little bit low, but you know, we're talking like half of what the regional average is for most of your member agencies. As a district, you're not supported by property taxes, so you really rely on the sewer service charges to fund all your costs of service. And so the public knows 100% of those revenues that they're paying go to wastewater treatment and operations by law. So all their money's being spent wisely. So our take was, it's good you did the last rate increases. They put you in a stronger financial position and enabled you to do the redundancy project, but it's just been a long time and you're facing new financial challenges, you really do need to start raising rates. On the next slide, just showing kind of a long-term history of the district's rates for the residential charges going back to 2007. You had done some rate increases for a few years, then you went 7 years without no rate increases. That was kind of a similar situation now. You had to raise rates again. So when we looked long-term, it was more about a little less than 5% ongoing average annual rate increases if you had kept escalating from 2007. Next slide shows a survey of regional wastewater rates. And again, the three of your member agencies are among the lowest out there. And other agencies are also in the middle of or anticipating rate increases as well. So moving on to the next slide, you know, what's driving the new rate increases? One is just because it's been 6 years, there's been a lot of cost escalation over that time. The last rate increases were done before COVID, and everyone is familiar with the inflation that's hit in the last years after that. So the CPI itself has gone up about 25%, but that doesn't really reflect what the district and other water and sewer districts have faced for costs like chemicals and electricity. They've more than doubled over the last 5 years alone. You have other costs that have gone up certainly more than CPI, which is more of a kind of consumer measure of inflation. So you have to catch up on all that. And on top of that, you've got new operating expenses that are just starting to hit the district now with the redundancy project. It treats the wastewater to a much purer level, but it costs money to do that as well. So there is $500,000 of new O&M that's built in to the financial projections for that. On top of that, as Jeremy mentioned, you have a new USDA loan, which, you know, congratulations to the district on getting that. It's 1.375% for about $4.5 million. That's great. Also on top of that, your other financing, you locked in at a really good time when you did your financing sale in 2020. Those were for, I call them bonds, but they're certificates of participation, which are almost the same. The interest rate on those was just slightly over 2%. So you locked in at a great time. You're already paying the debt on the 2020 financing, but with this new USDA financing coming in, which the district's hoping to sign and finalize and very soon, there's going to be new debt service that starts to kick in of about $150,000 a year. And as Jeremy mentioned, you are under obligation to meet these financial covenants. When you borrow money, a revenue secured debt, it's not like you take a loan out in a house and if you don't pay, the bank will come and take your house away. It's secured by the district's legal pledge to raise rates and fees as needed to pay the debt service and generate that little extra buffer. You need that buffer for capital projects, but you are supposed to make every effort you can to stay in compliance with those legal covenants. And then the third thing, everyone knows there's, you've got a lot of old infrastructure out there, not just this district, but every district around California. Your treatment plant was put in about 60 years ago, same with the conveyance pipelines. And even though you've made upgrades over the years here and there, there's just a lot of old equipment and infrastructure that needs reinvestment and more investment than, you know, for the first 10 years, you don't have to invest anything when you put in some new facilities. But when they're kind of at the end of their useful life, it costs a little bit more. So you do have a 5-year capital program that's on the next slide. It's about $9 million. These are the best estimates. The district is currently working on a trunk sewer capacity study that's going to be evaluating the funding needs of those trunk sewer lines that convey the wastewater from each of your member agencies to the treatment plant. So there may be more projects on top of this that are identified in the upcoming year or two. And after that, you need to make sure there's a healthy funding stream to keep the funding level so you can keep addressing the ongoing capital needs. On to the next slide. So for our rate study, really the big part of it was coming up with some updated 10-year financial projections and, you know, going through with a fine-tooth comb a lot of these expenses with staff and including what needs to be included there and not including stuff that doesn't need to be included, but trying to incorporate all the latest cost estimates, et cetera. And our goal in doing this is really identify where do your rates need to be to support balanced budgets and adequate capital funding after 5 years. You're not going to get there overnight, but we want to set you on course where at the end of it, you're in a financially stable position, and then you reevaluate and adjust course as needed. Right now, you're a little behind the eight ball, so you need these rate increases to kind of get the funding levels up to where they're needed for long-term stability. And it's identifying, when we did the cash flows, 9% rate increases for each of the next 5 years. And I know nobody likes rate increases. It sounds like a lot. I'll just mention that's 9% of a relatively low number. The percentages are sometimes misleading. I've got a lot of agencies that have, $100 monthly wastewater rates. So for them, 9% increase would be a lot more than your charges, which are about, $25 a month. So these 9%, it equals about the first year would be $2.29 per month for a single family home. But that's what it looks like it's needed. On the next slide, to put it in context, these 9% increases are coming after, it's going to be 6 years of no rate increases. So you factor all that together, and the rates with full implementation are going to be at the same place they would have been if it was the old rate from 2019, escalated at a little less than 4.5% per year. On the next slide, this kind of graphically shows the expenses with those bars, and the revenues is that green line that's a little bit hard to see. For example, the dark blue is your operating expenses. The light blue are new redundancy project operating and maintenance expenses. The orange is debt service, and the yellow is the capital. So you can see right now, this year doesn't really count because you're focused on the redundancy project. You haven't been doing other capital projects probably to the level that you're going to need to do. But over the next few years, you can see the yellow bars are above the green revenue line there. That means you're drawing down your fund reserves to get those capital projects done. But the goal is in 5 years, in 2029-30, that your rates are supporting, stable, meeting your budgets for operating capital on the debt service side. And it looks like it's just inflationary rate increases needed after that. But again, you set course in the right direction. You're going to come back and reevaluate and adjust course as needed in 5 years, or sooner if needed. This slide here shows the detail of all the rates for all your different customer classes for the next 5 years. And again, at the top, we wanted to, most of your customers, it's largely residential customer base. How are your residential customers going to be affected? That's on the second line at the top there. The first year, it's about $2.29 per month, and it keeps escalating over the course of the 5 years. The second year, it's about $2.50. So it is an increase from, $25 and change now to about $39 and change at the end of 5 years. But that's what it costs, unfortunately. Going on to the next slide, the bad news is you need rate increases. Everyone does over time. I don't know if this is any consolation, but we try to build in here what would the fully loaded rates look in with the district's wastewater treatment plant rate increases and each of the member agencies' anticipated rate increases. And that's what this slide shows, that you're still going to be among the lowest out there with these first-year rate increases. Sometimes it's a little unfair showing your rate increases against everyone else because that's the current rates for everybody else. I don't know what everyone's doing, but we do know that a number of these agencies are in the middle of multi-year rate increases, and other ones are also going to need rate increases. Everyone has old infrastructure that needs reinvestment. Everyone's faced, cost inflation, and the electricity and chemical costs that you've seen double, same with everybody else out there who's treating wastewater. So what are the next steps? Well, today was presenting these findings and looking for board direction to move on with the process. You wouldn't be taking action on rates until you held your public hearing. What does the Prop 218 rate increase process entail? Well, number one, you have to mail out notices to all the property owners/customers at least 45 days prior to holding your public hearing. So we're aiming for a public hearing on July 2nd. And the way you adopt rates is by ordinance. Most agencies use resolutions, so we will recommend, and I think there's been some talk with legal counsel, potentially changing that. So in the future, you can do a resolution, which is just a lot more easy for the district to do. So on July 2nd, that's the plan for the public hearing, the first reading. At that public hearing, the rates are subject not to a vote, but to something called a majority protests. So if you receive written protests from more than 50% of all the property owners, customers, you know, one protest per parcel, that then you can't move ahead with a rate increase. But that rarely happens. It does happen on rare occasion when an agency's tripling their rates overnight, or they've got a real small community and there's a lot of contention there. But we don't foresee that being an issue, even though we know there's nobody out there likes rate increases. Following that, you'd have to do your second reading. The plan is to do that on July 16th. Then for an ordinance to become effective, you have to wait 30 days. So it wouldn't become effective to the earliest in August. But what we're anticipating is that the member agencies would pass along these rates, and what goes on the tax rolls would assume a rate increase on September 1st this year, but getting back to the July 1st for each of the subsequent years. And that concludes, and turn it over to any questions or comments from the board.
I just have a quick question. Based on that timeline, it looks like that's not going to be completed by the August date that you mentioned in your introduction. Can you just kind of close that gap for me?
So the August date that I referred to was the August 16th that we have to have our rates to the county so that they can adopt them in September. And so after the July 2nd hearing, we'll have our second reading on July 16th, and that will make our rates effective August 16th. But also, not only that, they won't actually go into effect till September 1st when we adopt them, much past the 30 days. But we'll be able to pass along the information to NBS and the consultant so that they can prepare the documents for the county starting August 16th for a September county board meeting where they'll adopt the rates at that point.
If I could just add to that, so the charges that will go on the county tax rolls will include 2 months at the current rate, but then 10 months at the new rate after September.
Any questions to my left? I had a couple questions. One of them was answered. Are we planning on doing any outreach, like any info sessions or anything, or is it just public hearing?
No. At this time, there's no public information hearings outside of the public meetings and the readings. If we were to take on substantial rate increases or rate increases for like some new project or an expansion, we would like to have that type of extra effort, public outreach, informational session so that the community could understand what we're asking to do. On rate increases that are more usual and just because of inflationary costs of energy, costs of chemical, those type of information sessions aren't really that meaningful because the story is pretty brief. Like mm-hmm. these are routine cost increases that we're talking about. So yeah. There's not a lot for us to explain outside of Mr. Handler's presentation tonight on our needs. We're happy to answer any questions. People can call and ask or an email. We're providing email contacts for questions as well. But there'll be we're not planning any additional information sessions outside the public meetings.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
No, I just had a comment. I'm from the OCSD, Oceano, and so we are in the process of looking at water and sewer rates, and it's been over 10 years since we've done the sewer. So, but I think the 9% here to me looks, I mean, no one's happy about it, but it looks like a reasonable amount for people to understand. So I appreciate your presentation. It really helps make things clear.
Okay, with that, I'm going to open up public comment. Any other questions? No? I'm going to open up public comment. Seeing nobody come forward, I'm going to close public comment and then go back to the board for some comments. So you made some comments.
The only comment I had, is I feel like we should have something on the website that just doesn't require a phone call in. It could just be on our homepage, or maybe it's this staff report or something. I don't know if we have a little spotlight that we could put on that may help.
Yeah, absolutely. We can, we'll work to include all of our proposed rate increases on our website.
Just so that they don't have to dive through an agenda and fish through it and find these very helpful charts.
Yeah, and I think maybe without providing all the information, getting back to Director D's previous question, the City of Grover Beach is doing two public information sessions for the rate increases on their wastewater project. And I think that's what she was alluding to. Like, are we going to have like a public meeting space? But yeah, that's a good point. We can certainly share this in a more forward way on our website of
proposed
rate increases.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about anything in person.
Okay,
great.
I just also have to echo Director Gibson's comments about, you know, we're all going through rate increases, our own 218s right now. So I think that the communication and transparency is the biggest part of this. And that's what I look for when it comes to these increases. I think 9% is reasonable when you look at the numbers. And I appreciate the graph that was on number six, the slide 16, that showed our increases, including our increases. So thank you for that graph and just putting it all out into the open so that people can see that. I agree. I think that we'll just have to see how people take this. So yeah, would anybody like to make a motion?
Sure.
Those are my only comments.
I was looking to see if my mic was on. Then I will move that we direct staff to schedule a public hearing on the proposed increases to district rates for July 2nd, 2025, and that we direct staff to move forward with printing and mailing the required notices to district customers and property owners.
Can I get a second? Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Cassie D?
Yes.
Director Shirley Gibson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you so much for the presentation, and thank you for all that you guys do. So everything was great. Okay, perfect. Well, that was there any other comments? Do we have any? We'll move on to the board member communications. Does anybody have any communications?
I just had a comment. I just wanted to say, looking back over the last 5 years, I'm really amazed at what Jeremy and Michael and Amy and everyone has done at the sanitation plant. Just, you know, the redundancy and everything to get that done and have a big problem and then work that through. I mean, it's very professional. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ditto. Okay, well, with that, I will adjourn the meeting. The next regular scheduled meeting is on June 4th, 2025 at 6 p.m. in the AG City Council Chambers. We'll meet back here. June 4th? June 4th? I know. I know, we're moving forward towards this. All right, and with that, we adjourn.